today we're going to be finishing the two-hour interview that we did yesterday. So it'll be almost four hours altogether, an interview with Barbara Ahoe. Her webpage, www.watch-unto-prayer.com. watchuntoprayer.com. And her new report, The Death, or just Death of the Phoenix, Final Act for the United States of America. And this phoenix bird has been a part of this whole United States. And the first phoenix bird, there is a folklore in Arabia, in Saudi Arabia, about the phoenix bird, and supposedly in the Garden of Eden came from. In the Garden of Paradise, beneath the Tree of Knowledge, bloomed a rose bush. Here, in the first rose, a bird was born. His flight was like the flashing of light. His plumage was like beauteous, and his song was ravishing. But when Eve plucked the fruit of the Tree of Knowledge of good and evil, and when she and Adam were driven from paradise, there fell from the flaming sword of the cherub a spark unto the nest of the bird, which blazed up forthwith, and the bird perished in the flames. But from the red egg of the nest there fluttered aloft a new one, the one solitary phoenix bird. The fable tells that he dwells in Arabia, and that every 100 years, of course I've read 500 years too, but every 100 years he burns himself to death purposely. He burns himself to death in his nest, but each time a new phoenix, the only one in the world, rises up from the red egg. And that's all I'm going to read about that. But here in America, we, the phoenix bird, I guess our, the eagle is, was once a phoenix bird, representing of our country, and our U.S. seal, the phoenix bird. We have pictures of Hillary wearing a phoenix bird holding an earth, along with many other people, Republicans and Democrats, women wearing phoenix birds on their lapels. The phoenix bird is actually an occult phoenix bird. It's rooted in ancient mythology, of course. Actually symbolizes the New Age concept of being born again. While Christians are born again when Jesus Christ comes into their heart, the New Ager is born again with a different demon spirit. The Antichrist will also be born again, individual, when he is possessed with Lucifer himself. Manly P. Hall, a Freemason, he's got a book, The Secret Destiny of America. He wrote, all symbols have their origin in something tangible, and the phoenix is one sign of the secret orders of the ancient world and of the initiate of those orders, for it was common to refer to one that had been born, had been accepted into temples as a man twice born or reborn with wisdom. Wisdom confers a new life, and those who become wise are born again. They love to use it. The phoenix is believed to be a divine bird going back to Egypt. The phoenix destroys himself in flames and then rises from the ashes. Most occultists believe that the phoenix is a symbol of Lucifer, who was cast down in flames, who they think will one day rise triumphant. This, of course, also relates to him, to the rising of Hiram Abiff, the Masonic Christ. And that's... And Manly P. Hall further writes, he writes in The Secret Destiny of America, which I'd be a great thing to read, the phoenix is said to live for about 500 years, and then at its death, the body opens and a newborn phoenix emerges. And this symbolism is basically representing immortality and resurrection. And I don't think it's the resurrection that you and I know about. And so there's so much going on out there right now with Chicken Little movies. Movies. There's one, Chicken Little, and maybe we'll play that next week. We're going to send it out in an email because I want you to watch the trailers on some of these movies. One, Mel Gibson's Apocalypto, which is all about the Mayan Indians and the end of the world. The Chicken Little is about the end of the world, about UFOs attacking us, and it's a little show about for children. Yet I've watched the trailer, and you should, about the sky is falling, and everybody makes fun of Chicken Little because he's saying the end is coming. The end is near. In the Apocalypto, it says that no one is ready for the end. In Amazon.com, you can find, here's a book called Apocalypse, Movie Survival Skills for the End of the World. So the movie Apocalypse, it has all these different guides to the end of the world and how to prepare. The end is near. Surviving the apocalypse. They're teaching people how to survive the battle of Armageddon when the Lord comes. It's quite amazing what we're seeing happening as far as everything. And I tell you what, Barbara Ahoe has been one of those that have connected the dots. And the phoenix, America was set up to be the phoenix to destroy herself purposely and arise out of that, the Masonic New World Order. And she has written a report, and it's, gosh, I haven't added all the pages up. It's a lot. We'd love for you to have this report. Love for you to have copies of this show. We appreciate Barbara for all her hard work. And let's quickly read the scripture I have for today. And Revelation 13, verse 5, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world." If any man have an ear, let him hear. If you have an ear today, let them hear what Barbara Aho is saying there, and for truth to stay, and stuff that might not be true, well, let the Lord check our spirit, but let's listen to her report, her extreme amount of hard work. Her webpage is mountains full, folks, of fabulous information. When I read what Barbara had researched and connected the dots for me of all the secret societies and the Illuminati and all the New World Order and the Council of the Fake Christians out there, where I couldn't figure out what was going on, she was able to connect it for me. We sure appreciate Barbara Aho and her hard work. Hey, Barbara. Oops, I never put her online. Barbara?
Hi, Kelly.
I'm sorry you weren't able to hear. I was didn't ever put you on the board. I've introduced you, and I'm saying, Barbara, when you weren't there, because I never put you on the board. How are you doing today?
Doing fine.
Good.
I did hear a little bit of what you
did said you?
About Jonathan Edwards, but then I had to turn my radio off.
Oh, okay. Yes. What did you think about that? He died on January the 11th, so William Federer, who puts out a book, you probably know, Our Christian Heritage, and all these agent provocateur book on Dare Defending Your Rights and whatnot, and Our Christian Heritage. He's part of the CMP also, and down here with Roy Moore quite often. Anyways, he sends out a daily thing, and I figured I ought to read it on January the 11th, and it was all about Jonathan Edwards and his grandson,
Timothy Dwight.
Timothy Dwight, yeah.
Actually, okay, I took another look at my notes on Timothy Dwight. Timothy Dwight was the grandson of Jonathan Edwards, but he had a grandson that was named Timothy Dwight. So there's several generations that are spanned here. But the grandson of Jonathan Edwards sat on the American Revision Committee. And this revision committee worked with Westcott and Hort over there in England. In fact, the American Revision Committee got going before Westcott and Hort's Revision Committee got going. So all of the information about the Bible versions is a little bit skewed, because they never mention Timothy Dwight over here in this American Revision Committee. But I just want to read something quickly about Jonathan Edwards. It's from Paul Boyer's book, When Time Shall Be No More, Prophecy, Belief in Modern American Culture. The independence movement also revived the belief of the Mathers and of Jonathan Edwards that America might be the seat of Christ's millennial kingdom. But what had been formulated in religious terms, in other words, by Jonathan Edwards, now took on a secular cast as prophecy speculation, already politicized during the French and Indian War, oriented itself around the revolutionary cause, laying the groundwork for civil millennialism, which is exactly what we're seeing today. In a poem on the rising glory of America, delivered to their Princeton graduating class in 1771, Philip Freneau and Hugh Henry Brackenridge looked to the day when the New Jerusalem would grace our happy earth, perhaps this land, an independent American nation, declared Ebenezer Baldwin, 1776, would be the principal seat of that glorious kingdom, which Christ shall erect upon the earth in the latter days. Revolution and liberty, rather than revival, now became the high road to the blessed future foreseen by the biblical apocalyptus. So you see, the revolutionists that were mobilizing the Americans for the Revolutionary War and for the independence from Great Britain, they were using this same apocalyptic rhetoric, propaganda, that America was going to be the New Jerusalem. And that's how they got backing for the Revolutionary War.
And well, now I you connected something else for me just right then. Instead of this, you know how there are all these charismatics and all these people constantly saying a revival, big revival is breaking out. They're talking about a revolution.
That's
they're
true.
Talking about war and people bearing arms against their government.
Exactly.
They're not talking about people turning from their sins.
No.
And turning back from the Lord. So Jonathan Edwards, was he part of the Great Awakening preacher?
Oh yes. He supposedly, you know, led a massive revival. You know,
mm-hmm. Here is Skull and Bones, graduate from Yale.
Well, actually, his grandson was Skull and Bones. I don't think Skull and Bones was around.
He was the president of Princeton University,
yeah.
and then, what's his name? I lost his name.
Timothy Dwight.
He became president of Yale, huh? Was he at Skull and Bones, too, probably?
Oh, yes. He was Skull and Bones, and his grandson, Timothy Dwight, was Skull and Bones. Both were presidents of Yale.
Okay. So Jonathan Edwards, is there another Jonathan Edwards who was a Skull and Bones?
I don't think Skull and Bones is active. I'm sure it was.
Was he a 33 degree?
Probably.
Mason? Jonathan Edwards?
Probably.
Yeah. Especially since his sons got to become... Skull and Bones and grandsons and become president of Yale, which was a Puritan college, which I never knew until I read William Federer, who's a Puritan too, Calvinist. It's amazing how that information comes out today on the day that we're going to be going this way, about that.
Yeah.
I never knew Yale was a Puritan college, along with probably Harvard and Princeton.
Yes.
Of which today they're so apostate. Princeton, of course, marries sodomites on campus. Their theological seminaries, they are so liberal, it's unbelievable.
Well, Cotton Mather was, or it was Increase Mather, his father was one of the presidents of Harvard, and of course the Mathers were very active. Increase Mather was very active in the witchcraft trials in Salem, and you know, they were burning witches, and of course that's blamed
on Christians, because they might have true Christians,
right? But you know, we don't burn witches at the stake, but I'm going to get into that today. But it seems to me that the dialectic was going on very strong at that time too.
Well, they were putting Christians in prison in New England and Massachusetts, because anybody who gave the gospel in those states before we had our First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, during the Articles of Confederation, Christians were being put in prison up there in those Puritan states.
I believe it.
I mean, they were. Patrick Henry supposedly was the lawyer for some of them, and Baptists were getting in prison for giving the gospel on the street corner in those England, in those states where they were Church of England and Puritan. Okay, well, Barbara, dive right in, and I'll back out and let you teach.
Okay, well, feel free to interrupt if you have
questions. I'll take notes, okay?
Okay, before I get started, I just want to read two scriptures, Revelation 2:9 and Zechariah 12:7. Jesus is speaking to the church in Smyrna in Revelation 2:9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And I spoke about this synagogue of Satan yesterday being certain northern tribes of Israel that went into Baal worship, and to this day they are the lost tribes of Israel, most never returned to Israel, and they are still conducting the Canaanite Baal worship, the worship of Lucifer. And they are the synagogue of Satan. They have no right to call themselves Jews, because the word Jew comes from Judah, which was the southern kingdom, Benjamin and the tribe of Benjamin and Judah. And the other scripture points to the future. This is Zechariah 12:7. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. Now, when the Lord Jesus returns, there is going to be a remnant that will be converted and believe in him. But before that time, this synagogue of Satan, which will return to Israel and set up the kingdom of the Antichrist, will be persecuting the tribe of Judah and even attempt to steal the birthright from them. I'm not sure exactly how this will work out, whether they will claim that Judah does not really carry the messianic line, that it was diverted somewhere else. But they are going to attempt to put their own Messiah on the throne and dispense with the tribe of Judah. Of course, God is not going to permit that, because here he says, I will save the tents of Judah first. And so when we're talking about this conspiracy, you know, common usage is to just refer to the Jews as a single unit. But there is a deep division within Jewry, or I should say the house of Israel. And the Israelites are not divided. The conspiracy is on the part of a faction, a rather large faction within ancient Israel towards their brothers, the house of Judah. And so as I'm going through this, keep this in mind. When I say Jew, it's just because it's custom to me and to all of us to refer to those descendants of Abraham as Jews. But please make this distinction in your mind as I go through this. I want to finish what I started yesterday about the Zionist, with an S, Zion conspiracy. It's called Zionist because the tribe of Dan migrated northward from their territory on the coast to Mount Zion, S-I-O-N, which is Mount Hermon, it says in Deuteronomy, Mount Hermon, which is Zion. And this was the location where it is believed that the fallen angels came down to earth and mated with human women, and where the whole Canaanite worship came about. And the tribe of Dan preferred that Baal worship to the worship of the true God. And so it is this tribe of Dan, which was dispersed during the Assyrian captivity and migrated up through Greece into Europe and to the British Isles and then on to the New World, which is the United States of America now. So there really are lost tribes. I believe that they have kept meticulous genealogies, and even if they intermarry with Gentiles, they are keeping track of who is who. And when they all get together over there in Israel, they will know who is tribe of Dan, who is the house of Israel, and who is the house of Judah. And there's going to be this immense persecution of the messianic bloodline, the true messianic bloodline, by the false bloodline. And in the meantime, this tribe of Dan, this synagogue of Satan, has not been just biding their time. They have been infiltrating Christianity. They started, I believe, in the first century. They infiltrated the Christian church in Rome. I've done a lot of research on this. I grew up Roman Catholic, and I always wondered why the Roman Catholic Church was so Judaized. So many of the traditions within Roman Catholicism, you can trace right back to the Old Testament. And so I got serious about researching this, and I wrote a report on it, and I was astounded. That report is on our website. It's called Mystery Babylon, Catholic or Jewish. And I discovered that the Jews were very busy in, or what I mean is the synagogue of Satan. I don't mean Judah. Infiltrating the Roman church, Paul spoke about them in the in his letters to the churches, the Judaizers, how they persistently followed him from city to city. And and how he had to defend the faith against these Judaizers. And I realized as I got researching that they did succeed in infiltrating the Roman Church and were instrumental in causing the persecutions of Christians. And that is the reason that I believe that the Roman Catholic Church came about. And all through these many centuries, they have been gradually moving what was then Christendom from Judaism into Babylonism, Babylonian worship, the idols, the Marian worship, the miracles, the Immaculate Conception, just one Babylonian heresy after another, to the point where the Pope is infallible, where he controls much of the world. And then after the Middle Ages were over and the Reformation took place, even the Reformation was thoroughly infiltrated with Rosicrucians. Then again, the Synagogue of Satan, just in another form. The Rothschilds have gotten control, and probably had control from the beginning, as soon as they formed the House of Rothschild. They now control the Vatican Bank, and all kinds of secret societies are connected to the Vatican, the P2 Opus Dei, which I'm going to get into probably in the second half of this. But I want to talk a little bit about John Calvin. Oh, before that, I just want to mention that the Murano phenomenon. During the Middle Ages, the Synagogue of Satan, many of their agents were popes. There were many, I want to say Jewish popes, but they were really Synagogue of Satan. They were Merovingian popes. And they would get into the papacy, and then they would issue orders that all of the Jews had to convert to Roman Catholicism. They either had to be baptized or they were killed. And, of course, it looked like the Gentiles were doing this. So you would have massive conversions of Jews. I mean, they had no choice. It was either die or convert. So they would be baptized, and they would carry on their Old Testament rites very secretly, but they would go to church. Well, what the end result of this was, massive numbers of Jews coming in to the churches. And then some of them were conversos. They did this under pain of death. They did it only because they had to. But a lot of it was to make way for Jews to infiltrate and then rise to the clergy and to become priests and then bishops, then cardinals, then popes. So what you had was the takeover of Christendom by this synagogue of Satan. Now, one of their members was Ignatius of Loyola. He was a member of the Alumbrados in Spain, which were also called the Illuminati. And he was the son of Murano Israelites. So the whole Jesuit order is not really a Gentile order. All of the horrible things that they have done can be traced back to Ignatius, who was a Murano, who was Illuminati. Another of their number was John Calvin. And I want to read something that was published. It's taken from the Convention of the B'nai B'rith that was held in Paris in 1936, where they claim that Calvin was one of their own. It reads, "We are the fathers of all revolutions, even of those which sometimes happen to turn against us. We are the supreme masters of peace and war. We can boast of being the creators of the Reformation. Calvin was one of our children. He was of Jewish descent, and was entrusted by Jewish authority and encouraged with Jewish finance to draft his scheme in the Reformation. Then they go on to talk about Martin Luther. Martin Luther yielded to the influence of his Jewish friends unknowingly, and again by Jewish authority and with Jewish finance. His plot against the Catholic Church met with success, but unfortunately he discovered the deception and became a threat to us, so we disposed of him, as we have so many others who dare to oppose us. Now, Martin Luther, still a question mark in my mind. I guess maybe I have a hard time conceding that Martin Luther was one of them, or it doesn't sound like he was one of them, but then again, he was an Augustinian monk. He had that Rosicrucian symbol as his family shield. Hard to tell, but this is out of the B'nai B'rith proceedings at their conference in 1936. Now, this synagogue of Satan has been busy not only infiltrating Christendom, but setting up their own religions and cults all over the world. Mormonism is one of them. Mormonism is very strongly British Israel, a very Judaized form of Christianity, very interested in genealogies. Joseph Smith surrounded himself with a group of 12 apostles, and his three highest members in that group of Kabbalists were Kabbalists. So his inner circle were Kabbalists, and I would wager that Joseph Smith himself was of the synagogue of Satan himself. Many times, these conversos or Moranos would adopt Gentile surnames so that they would not be recognized as Jews, and this still goes on today. John Kerry, Madeleine Albright came out a few years ago with these sudden discoveries that their parents were Jews, or rather, synagogue of Satan. So don't be fooled. There are huge numbers of these Zionists in our leadership in every area, mainly politics, law, where they can operate as change agents. Seventh-day Adventism is another religion that they invented. William Taze Russell was the founder of that, and it's really a form of it's a form of British Israelism. You could call it American Israelism. And it's interesting to me that Ron Wyatt, who spent his life searching for the Ark of the Covenant, was Seventh-day Adventist. Now, I just want to read something very interesting that I found on the Internet about these Zionists, because they claim to be Jews, but they really are this bloodline that came out of Mount Hermon. And if you remember in Genesis 6, the fallen angels descended, they believe, on Mount Hermon and mated with human women and created a hybrid race, a demonized race that God had to destroy. Now, when the Danites went up, relocated to Mount Hermon or Mount Zion, I believe that this went on again, that this dragon bloodline continued through them. And they even make claims to be the dragon bloodline, the bloodline of Lucifer. They make these claims in their books. There's a lot on our website about this. But I just want to read a quote. This was just on an internet forum. But sometimes you can get tremendous information that just corroborates everything else you've read. It is well understood that pro-Zionist Illuminatus in Britain have been working hard for centuries to mesh the Jews and the Christians together for this very purpose of millennial rule in a movement called British Israelism. This movement was created by Rosicrucians from as early as John Dee's alliances with Queen Elizabeth in the 16th century. The Rosicrucians were a cult of the dragon bloodline, seeking to make the British peoples believe that they were of Jewish blood in efforts to disguise their own bloodline. Everywhere in Britain, and particularly on the throne and in other leading roles, British Freemasonry and British Israelism go together like a snake coiled around its nest of eggs. That's the crux of British Israelism. In other words, an attempt of the dragon bloodline to ascend the throne of Israel and the biblical millennium, which it could not so easily do under the true banner of Gog or dragon bloodline. But we wouldn't expect them to stop with British Israelism. Why not also European Israelism, which the Catholic Apostolic Church promoted? Why not Anglo or American Israelism, as the Mormons and some Seventh-day Adventists promoted? My logic is that we just follow the British Israel eggs in order to keep track of movements made by the Illuminati snake. I thought that was very well stated. So this Zionist movement, the synagogue of Satan, have not stopped there even. They have infiltrated the evangelical denominations. They are leading many of our parachurch organizations. They have infiltrated and are controlling the charismatic movement, charismatic cults such as the End Time Handmaidens and the Strategic Prayer Network. And I believe that they're even in control of Messianic Judaism. And then there is the Reformed movement, which I'm going to get into in a little while, and there is the Anglican Church. Of course, now the head of the Anglican Church is a Druid, Rowan Williams. So all of this conniving and scheming and conspiracy has been for the purpose of this synagogue of Satan getting themselves back, using the Gentile nations and the Gentile churches to get back to Israel. You see, they were thrown out in 70 AD by God for rejecting the Messiah. And they have been scheming to get back there, these many centuries. But they had to use the Gentile nations to do this. They are on the verge of doing this. They really have succeeded through cunning and because they're very intelligent. So what has happened at this point is they have used the United States to build a financial empire, to build a military empire. They're now over in Iraq, and they're about to invade Iran, and it's just going to probably be a domino effect over there, taking over the Middle East until they have control of Eretz Israel, which they claim stretches from the Nile River to the Euphrates. And they are using the Christian Messianic movement and these parachurch organizations to pay for all of this. And they have to get the Jews out of the United States in order to set up their false messianic kingdom over there in Israel. And the Jews in the United States are very comfortable at this point. They don't want to go. So they have to create the conditions that will motivate them to go. And I talked yesterday about how the United States is going to become so dysfunctional that the Jews will gladly flee the U.S., and they are going to, they're in the process now of getting Christians to pay for what they call Aliyah, that is Jews immigrating from the United States to Israel. For example, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews recently gave $2 million towards this effort. But keep in mind, before you contribute to any of this, that the Jews are going to encounter the false Christ when in Israel when they get there, and the false prophet, and the false and the mark of the beast, and a host of other counterfeits there, and they are going to be persecuted by the Antichrist. Now, something interesting, Wendell Jones, who's part of the Sanhedrin over there that has recently been established, made the statement. Now, he's the one who says he knows just where the Ark of the Covenant is. And he made the statement that, according to Jones, the Sharon government will soon be history. And Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish High Court of 71 judges, will take its place and lead the Jewish people. The Sanhedrin was established on October the 13th of last year. That's 205. Now all we have to do is have an election to elect counselors. The Sanhedrin is like the Senate, and the elected counselors are like the House of Representatives. Now, when he says that when the Ark of the Covenant is found, the Jews will then, he says, and everything is going to change. Believe me, the Jewish people are going to come back. Now, that Sanhedrin over there, someone has sent me information that the Noahide.com is saying that this is a false Sanhedrin over there, and I believe it. This is not the true Sanhedrin, because the Sanhedrin is going to be the learned elders of Sion, or the Priori de Sion. But they are setting up a lot of counterfeits over there. So 3.5 years into the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to rise to power as the Christ and put all of this down as if he is rescuing the world from all of these wicked institutions and individuals. There even is going to be a false Antichrist, a false prophet. So the deception is enormous. It is surely going to deceive even the elect, as Jesus said, if that were possible. Now, I talked yesterday about why the United States had to be sacrificed, that the Jews would not leave otherwise. There may be a persecution of the Jews here, or maybe even a threat of persecution. It's hard to tell. But Kim Clement made an interesting prophecy. Talked about him yesterday, one of the false prophets, but much of what he says is coming to pass. So this man is an insider. He knows what's going to happen. He made this statement about the media, which is going to have this enormous revival. He said Rupert Murdoch is so close to the kingdom of God that God says, I will build my house through networks that are apparently secular. Now, Kim Clement is speaking for God now, supposedly. He said, okay, God said, phooey to those that say secular. It belongs to me, says the Lord. And because it belongs to me, I will take what is mine, and hand it to the prospective people that are ready for it. Get ready for it, because I will take two networks and turn them around. They shall not be known as Christian, but they shall build pulpits in the presence of your enemies. And the gospel shall go to another level, another realm, and people will say, I heard about Jesus on Fox. I heard about Jesus on ABC. I found Jesus on NBC. And suddenly a child will say, I was listening to Disney. And guess what happened to me? I found Jesus while I was listening to Disney. Well, that's hardly going to be the case. But Kim Clement is setting Christians up for a situation where all of these newscasters and Rupert Murdoch have false conversions. And then they start preaching, supposedly, the gospel on our secular networks. But as we've seen from the whole Rick Warren affair, this is not going to be the true gospel of Jesus Christ. This is going to be a gospel that is directly opposed to fundamentalism, to sound doctrine. It's going to be part of the one world religion. And the it is going to be directed especially towards the Jews. Now, Kim Clement went on to say, the nation of Israel is going to have a moment, an opportunity to meet the Messiah on a national and international scale. Some of the greatest apostles are going to come from a Damascus Road experience and are going to be the Jewish people. And then he talks about raising up Messianic Jews. Now, keep in mind that there is going to be this synagogue of Satan. And many of our Jewish, our media personalities are themselves of the house of Israel. And so when you see these media people, media stars beginning to preach a gospel, it will not be the true gospel. But these false prophets like Kim Clement and Chuck Pierce are getting the apostate church, the Laodicean church, ready to receive this as a revival, as a harvest of souls. This is not a true revival. This is going to be the apostate religion of the Antichrist being prepared. How much time do I have, Kelly, till break?
We have about 3 minutes till your break, so we could just take a little break right there and talk for a minute about, just recap a few minutes on what you've been saying. We brought up Robert Murdoch, and the head of owns
Fox.
Fox, AB. He owns lots of things, lots of our news outlets. Supposedly he was the father of the NIV Bible, too.
He owns the printing rights.
The printing rights to it, okay. And it's amazing that his name basically means Molech,
yes,
in the Hebrew.
I forgot that.
The Tower of Babel, where he Babelized Genesis 11, the old world order that Satan tried back then and been trying ever since. And so that's real interesting. Definitely Baal worship there going on. I also wanted to mention Brigham Young. I was looking through the Supreme Council's 33 Degree Masons website and their building that they have in Washington, D.C., 13 blocks from the Capitol or from the White House, one of the two. And Brigham Young's picture's in there when you're bringing up Mormonism. He's a 33 Degree Mason. So there's a lot of Masonry connection with the Mormons. Basically, a lot of their rituals are the same thing with the loincloth and the temple and all that.
Yes, yes, for sure.
And so the Sanhedrin was reestablished last year with, 71. Supposedly, they have the temple. I've been to the Temple Institute in Israel, and they have the temple. It's already prefabbed and ready to go up. I mean, it's that close to being rebuilt for their messianic, for their Messiah.
Yes, yes.
To come. It's that close. It's quite close. But do you think this is a fake Sanhedrin? It's not the real?
Yes. Somebody sent me, I've been watching this Sanhedrin for a while now. The Israel National News Service has reports on it periodically. And they're meeting, and they started meeting in January, well, just a few weeks ago. And the first order of business, it seems, was to take into their group 10 Gentiles as Noahides.
Mm.
Now, Noahides are Gentiles who agree to keep the Noahide laws. They figure the Gentiles can't keep the Ten Commandments, so they give them these Noahide laws to keep. And, of course, this is a huge setup.
Right. Yeah, well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk more about the Noahides in the next hour and also about the Reformed Church and John Calvin and maybe the next revolution. And, folks, yesterday she spent the first hour on the Madrid fault line and maybe a coming huge earthquake that they've been predicting and bringing about, and something we think that everybody needs to know about and basically maybe prepare for such a thing as a gigantic earthquake in the middle of this country. We're going to be taking a two-minute break, and we will have Barbara on for the whole hour next time without any breaks while she's teaching. get her a drink of water here during this little break. And her webpage is watch-unto-prayer.org. Watchuntoprayer.org. www.watchuntoprayer.org. She has a link. We have a link for her webpage right on ours. And so we definitely need you to get to there and read her stuff. Get this whole report down and devour it. We'll be right back with more Barbara Aho. This is Kelly McGinley. Good afternoon, folks. Those in our listening audience, we're just glad that you're with us now for hour number two of the Berean Chronicles, coming to you live from Mobile, Alabama, where we're down here in Hurricane Alley trying to tear up with the truth, tear up the coast with the truth, tear up the airwaves. Wouldn't that be nice? But the truth does does the Word of God being the whole truth, nothing but the truth, is a sharp two-edged sword that does cut to the marrow and to the bone. And we, folks, that is what is our bottom plumb line, 100%. We have Barbara Aho on, who has done extraneous amounts of research. Her and some lady friends who have been researching for years have put together. Her website is mountains deep of this information. One of the most astounding things that I read was The Next Revolution that she had written, which helped connect a lot of dots for me. The Council for National Policy, she's got things on the Birch Society, exposing all these agent provocateurs who are out there and their agenda and what they're trying to do. And so all these secret societies, it's amazing to see it. And if you haven't ever looked and seen, you can see that all of the mainline denominations have gone apostate. They have been infiltrated and destroyed from the seminaries on down to your local church by Masonry and by the Kabbalist Zionist. And it's just quite amazing to see it all come together through the work of Barbara Aho and some of her friends. And